Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello and welcome to the Naked Professors podcast. My name is Ben Bidwell, otherwise known as the Naked Professor, and I'm here to bring real conversations about mental health. This month it's May and it seems to become a fulcrum about mental health. So I've really wanted to bring some powerful conversation, some experts and some very authentic and unique stories this month. And today it's coming from a guy called Johnny Benjamin. Johnny is someone I met a couple of years ago, but it felt right to share his story today and his learning. And actually, we didn't really get into his story because we just dived into, well, we did get into his story, but not the truth of not to the bottom of what Johnny's experienced, which is Johnny was saved when he stood on a bridge and he was looking at ending his own life, and he was saved by a passerby and who talked him off the bridge and saved his life in that moment. And Johnny reunited with him after, and the two of them shared a lot of public speaking opportunities together and told the story and helped a lot of people. And Johnny's become a real advocate for mental health since going on a journey of personal development in helping himself overcome some of the challenges that he experienced that he'll speak about in this episode. So I just really wanted to bring his story alive and his understandings and his perspectives and learnings. He's an incredible man. It's an honor for me, quite scary, if I'm honest, quite a scary moment to sit in the space and talk to him about his experiences and his learnings and where he's at and what he's feeling, because the journey is very much still ongoing for him, as it is for us all, but really beautiful. And I'm really grateful to have this opportunity. So without further ado, I'll hand over to a conversation with Johnny and really hope you enjoy it. So, Johnny, thank you so much for being here. We've just had the obligatory tech issues. And for me, it's always a powerful moment, because now it's the relief of actually getting to actually have a conversation with that actually working. So thank you. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for sitting here. Thank you for giving space for this conversation to unravel. I'm really grateful to have you here.
Pleasure. No, thanks for having me. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
I've known you for a while, but it just felt really the right time to talk this month, because I don't know if it's World Mental Health Month, but it seems that May seems to have gone that way, that we're having a conversation about mental health. And I know that you've got an amazing story, a powerful one. And I'm really hopeful that we can just sit in that space and learn about you and the journey that you've been on, some of the challenges you've had, how you're feeling, what's going on in your world, firstly to make it relatable, to allow people to see that it's okay to talk about this stuff, but also to hopefully bring some understanding and some education around all of this stuff as well. Just as I say, I'm really grateful to have you here. And I would like, Johnny, to start by asking you the most powerful of all questions, the one that's the most important of all, I believe, because I love to just say and sit in the space and ask how you are, like, but how are you really, like, what's really going on in your world? And everything is welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm okay. I'm tired. I'm really tired. Tired. Today's been a bit flat, to be honest. A bit of a flat one. There's a lot of difficult stuff in the news. And finding it quite hard to process that. But otherwise, I'm okay, actually. I'm okay, thank you. What about you?
Thanks, Johnny. Yeah, I am. How am I? Oh, I'm all sorts of things. I'm hopeful. I'm excited. I'm also, like you say, the news is right now. I don't tend to watch the news, but it's quite hard to avoid on socials. Oh, you know, and it's challenging. And it's, I don't know if you find it difficult, but it's hard to know what like how much to get involved. I want to show support, but I also don't know, is that enough? I don't know what, there is so much everywhere. And I kind of feel, do I stay in my lane and just do what I'm doing and what matters to me and what I can support? I just don't know. So there's lots of questions, but I just, yeah, I guess if I'm stripping it all back and keeping it simple for me personally, in my own little bubble, in my own world right now, I'm excited and I'm hopeful for my own personal future. That's what I'm feeling right now, if I'm honest. But I wanted to ask, you know, we just touched on you know, the news and stuff and feeling that energy and it being quite difficult. Are you always someone who's been sensitive? Have you always felt a lot? Whatever has been going on, has it always been very alive in you?
Oh, yeah, so sensitive from a really early age. You know, I would so easily burst into tears being a young boy. Like anything and everything, in the cinema or, you know, children's parties or watching football. I don't know. I was very affected by, and I still am, by, you know, what's in front of me, what's around me. But I think I suppressed that then when I became older. I definitely started to suppress those emotions and I was embarrassed and, you know, I tried to hide my sensitivity, yeah, out of shame, for sure, out of a lot of shame. Particularly as, you know, so I come from a Jewish family, and the men around me were all very stoic and very reserved, and so I felt I had to kind of fit in, but I didn't.
Well, I don't love that, but I love the fact you shared that because I resonate, and do you know what? I think there's a whole lot of people who resonate. Fundamentally, what I'm hearing you saying is, you were told to be something that you weren't from a young age. And that's hard. That's tough. That's a tough starting place to live our life from.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And you know, for me, I didn't fit in from a young age. You know, I wasn't into sport. And my family and the school I went to an all-boys school, actually, my first school. And it was very much focused on sport. And I just wasn't, I don't know, I was much more creative, and I was into like singing and dancing, and I felt so alone in that, really, growing up. Again, just, you know, I've got an older brother, and my older brother and my dad always went off to football together, and yeah, I found it lonely. Yeah, I found it lonely. I felt very different than everyone else growing up, which was quite tough.
Mm. You know what I did too, Johnny? I did too, and I was sporty. You know, I did tick some society's box in that sense, you know, and I did go to the football with my dad. But like you've touched on, and this is why I'm really excited about this conversation, because I really feel alive sitting here with you. But like you, I definitely had a sensitivity to me that I wasn't allowed to express. Mm. You know, that wasn't part of the sporting group. And almost for me as a sportsman, I almost felt like even more I can't be sensitive. Because I was sporty, yeah. I was, you know, and that the sports required me to want to win, to be competitive. Mm. And it shows me like there are so many aspects, because I totally hear you. You didn't feel like you belonged. But I think there's so many of us, it doesn't take much to not feel like we belong. And we can belong in many ways, but still in some parts not belong. Mm. And that hurts.
Mm. Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit about how that made you feel? Like, so from your perspective, like living that way, not feeling like you didn't belong, feeling like you had to be something that you weren't. What? How did that feel? What was that like?
I was quite an angry young boy. And my parents actually took me to a psychologist when I was 5 because, yeah, I wasn't, the behavior that I was exhibiting, I was becoming quite violent and angry. And I was having these constant, what we call night terrors, these very vivid, again, going back to sensitivity, I watched the BFG, Roald Dahl's The BFG. There was an animated version of it in the 80s, I think. And I watched it, and then I started to see what I thought was the BFG at night when I went to bed. And that film really, really terrified me as a little boy. And so I started to have these night terrors, and I lashed out. And yeah, so I got taken to a psychologist. And I just didn't understand any of it. Really, you know, there was a lot of, it was really the elephant in the room, the fact that I was seeing a psychologist at a young age, you know, especially again, coming from a Jewish family, mental illness was just, it was a taboo. It was a massive taboo. So, yeah, I would think I grew up very confused. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I had a really happy childhood. Like, I've got really happy memories, but I definitely had a lot of, there's a lot of confusion and shame. And as we said, loneliness, there was a lot of loneliness actually growing up. Yeah, for sure.
Mm. I just feel like I really just want to say, I see you, Johnny. I really see you. And I'm so grateful that we can sit in this space and have this conversation actually already. I'm really grateful for it, even this moment, because, you know, you're brave enough to talk about it. And that that makes, I don't know, it makes me feel alive. There's so much truth and honesty in a world that I guess we both sit here and talk about. There wasn't so much truth and honesty because we weren't allowed to be truthful and honesty. We weren't allowed to share who we really were. We weren't allowed to be sensitive. Mm. We weren't allowed to feel. It wasn't who we were meant to be. So just, I don't know, for me, if I'm already very like sensitive to sensitivity, if you like, but I really, I value it. And when someone allows themselves to express their truth, I just think it's such a beautiful thing. And so I just really want to share that with you. I really see you, and I think it's beautiful. So thank you.
What was it like for you at school, I wonder?
You know, when I first worked with a coach when I was 30, you know, we got to the eventual question a few sessions in, you know, Ben, how's your childhood? And I was like, oh, come on, here we go. Like, we don't need to go there. I had a great childhood. You know, everything was, I couldn't ask for anything more. I really couldn't. And I believe that from the bottom of my heart. And it's true in many ways. But ultimately, cutting a long story short, because I want to make this about you, I felt like I had to be someone I wasn't from a young age. And I felt low value. I felt everyone else was more important than me. And in that space, I really seeked validation from everyone else. I went on a mission to be validated. So how could I validate myself? Well, I'll be a man. I'll be tough and I'll be strong and I'll be all the things that society says. Well, I try my best to be those things in a way. You know, I did okay at that. I managed to do some of that stuff and I did get some validation. But I now know, and I didn't realize it at the time, but inside I was never my truth. I was never aligned. I was never being who I was born to be. And that hurts. Sure. You know, that does hurt. So I never reached, if you like, rock bottom. I experienced challenges in my sexual health. And that's what led me to do the work. But I never reached kind of a place of sort of deep depression or a place where I ever kind of felt, I don't know, I felt just empty was what I felt, just empty. Felt like there's always something more to life.
Yeah.
And I know that your experience was different in the sense that, you know, I guess, I don't know how it feels to have this said to you, but I guess you did reach rock bottom, right? You did reach a place where it was too much. Mm-hmm. Is that fair to say? I don't know how it is to say
absolutely and not just once. I mean, yeah, several times, I'd say. And that's okay. You know, it's human to reach that rock bottom, and it's a horrible place. It's a really horrible place, but I feel differently about it now, because I feel like I can talk about it. That's the thing. I don't shy away from it anymore, you know, because I'm not embarrassed anymore that I have reached rock bottom, that I still reach rock bottom. And yeah, probably in the future, I might reach rock bottom again. And, you know, that's okay. It is okay. I think, again, going back to what we were saying about, you know, being a man, I don't know, growing up, I always felt, I had to be strong in inverted commas, where, you know, I couldn't be vulnerable or because I think I reached rock bottom for the first time when I was a teenager, when I was in my mid-teens, and felt so ashamed. And I was like, I can't let anyone see this because, you know, I'm a guy. I should be strong. I should, you know, just get on with it. And that's what I always told myself was, you know, just get on with it, Johnny. But you can't just, you know, if you're in rock bottom, there is no way forward, is there? There is only a way out. And, you know, it can be really hard to do that on your own. That's what I have definitely learned over the years.
Of course. Well, why is it harder to do it alone? I don't know, it might be a silly question, but Did you feel completely alone? And what did that mean? It meant you couldn't speak to anyone? I mean, you couldn't tell anyone how you felt? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, there comes a certain point for me where I feel unreachable. You know, I feel I've gone too far. I'm too in the depths of despair, and no one can help me, and yeah, no one can reach me. And I isolate myself when I've done that, you know, really isolate myself. I push people away, which is hard, not just for me, but for them, you know, for my friends and my family, you know, when I push them away. Cause you know, when I'm not in rock bottom, I'm a very different person, you know, sitting here talking to you, I'm very sociable and I love being around people. But when I'm in rock bottom, I do not want people to see me that way or be around me I don't need your help. I don't want it. I feel, yeah, it's like I just go too far and it feels so hard to come back from that. I always do. I think for me, time is key. Time and patience. We always want a quick fix, but when it comes to something like this, sometimes there's not a quick fix. And it takes time and it takes patience and gentleness. And I've definitely learned that now, but it took a long time to learn it.
Mm. And is that, do you mean gentleness on yourself or from other people or both?
Yeah, both, but from myself more than anyone. I mean, you know, in my teens, I'm 34 now, and in my teens and my 20s, particularly in my 20s, I was so... I loathed myself. I know that's very extreme. That word loathing is very extreme, but I really did loathe myself. I hated the fact that I had a diagnosis of a mental health issue when I was 20, of a form of schizophrenia. And I hated that label. I hated the fact that I was mentally unwell. I also had a physical health issue. I've got IBD, irritable bowel disease, and I hated that as well. I felt so ill as a person, both physically and mentally. And I hated as well. I've always struggled with my sexuality, and again, coming from Jewish family, Jewish community, that was really hard. I came out as gay in my mid-20s, but I didn't accept it. I couldn't accept it myself. So there was a lot of self-loathing and not a lot of acceptance or kindness there at all, which was a real problem. Real problem.
I do hear some beautiful acceptance in you now. I know it's not easy, and like not necessarily easy having this conversation, but although I think it's for me really beautiful, and I'm so grateful for you speaking with me.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you like this podcast, then why not check out one of our other amazing Create podcasts? If you just want a good laugh, then check out The Weekly Roast.
Listen, bitch.
Oh, make an entrance.
I'm a week off sugar.
I will
fly to the UK and I will cut you both.
For the more cultured ones among you, join Laura Wright for Music in My Life.
Yeah, let's go.
I'm so glad no one can see me right now because I was doing some weird dance moves.
Yeah, nothing then, yeah.
Prefer a deep chat? Connie's got you covered on How Are You, the Wellbeing Podcast.
I just became a lot more productive and happier. And for me, like, that's just worth it.
The Weekly Roast, Music in My Life, and How Are You? Just three more podcasts to feast your ears on. Find them wherever you found this podcast.
I do hear a lot of acceptance and understanding, you know, even that acceptance of saying, hey, like, water might come again. Might come again, but feel the strength that you've built up in terms of just being able to acknowledge that and even to then be able to say, hey, I've been in that place and I know I'll come through it. And acceptance seems to make the challenge a lot easier, put it that way. It seems like half the challenge is, like you say, hating yourself and then hating yourself for hating yourself. And, you know, we can just build this loop. And when we come to accept and just sort of say, hey, like, this is my experience and I'm constantly working on it and maybe it will get better before it gets, sorry, gets worse before it gets better, or maybe it'll be a loop and maybe this is something I'll keep working on it. I don't know, with that acceptance, it's almost sort of frees up a lot of the challenge in the first place.
100%. I can't remember how I came across it now. I'm trying to think. But anyway, I got a book by someone called Kristen Neff. I don't know if you've come across Kristen Neff. So Kristen Neff is she's based in the US and she came up with something called, it's now called CFT, which is compassion focused therapy. And anyway, she wrote a book on self-compassion. She's kind of a self-compassion guru in the US. And I can't remember how I came to it now, but I came to this book anyway, called Self-Compassion and it's by Kristen Neff. And that book, I read that book, I must have been maybe early 30s, I read that book. And it really, it made me realize how unaccepting and unkind I was towards myself. That book really opened my eyes. And that led me to then starting CFT, Compassion Focused Therapy, with an incredible therapist in London, who I'm still with, actually. And that, because that was a real revelation for me. You know, in my 20s, I saw a lot of different therapists and they all said the same thing, which was, Johnny, you know, you need to be a bit nicer towards yourself, or a lot nicer, actually. And I was always like, well, you know, how? It's all very well you saying that, but how? And actually, you know, while I speak, I think of, I've met a lot of people who've struggled with their mental health, you know, over the years through my work. And yeah, often there is a lot of self criticism and self-loathing. I think of all the conversations that I've had, and it's heartbreaking, you know, when you see someone that's really so full of self-hate or so self-destructive, and you know, I've met quite a few people like that. But for me, it was definitely, you know, looking at into self-compassion and having this CFT, this compassion focused therapy, that really kind of helped to unlock some acceptance and some compassion towards myself, which I really, really need it.
That's really beautiful, Johnny. Yeah, I think compassion is one of the most underrated tools that we can find or we can use, even to the extent that in today's world, you know, that there's a real lack of compassion for the fact that sometimes we can feel sad or we can feel low or we can feel have a bad day or we can just, and if we could just change that rhetoric and allow people to experience what they feel and that to be okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then it could really change for me so much of the challenges of the mental health struggles that people have, in terms of just being like you say, there's going to be challenges in the future and that's okay. Mm-hmm. And like from my perspective, I often share like I'm feeling sad or I'm feeling low or I'm feeling whatever it is at the moment. And being okay with that. And that so often I share things and I write that and people go, oh my God, I'm so, you know, so sorry. I'm so, like, you need to save me. And it's like, no, I don't need saving. It's a human experience that I'm going to have some bad days. And I just, it's just acceptance. But like that's all. That's all. And it's so hard for you know, I know that they're coming from a place of love and they just want to be kind.
Yeah.
But the underlying message is that it's not okay to have a bad day, to feel sad, to be struggling in a world that teaches us not to love ourselves.
100%.
You know, like, especially in what you've explained, you know, that you were a sensitive man in a world that said you couldn't be sensitive. Well, automatically now you're being made wrong.
Yeah.
And you're telling yourself, you shouldn't be this way. And you're like, but that's who I am. Yeah. That's who I am. So now immediately we're creating this unhealthy relationship with ourselves. We don't like what it is that we naturally are.
Yeah. Yeah. I set up a youth mental health charity called Beyond. And I was doing some research maybe last week, the week before, looking at things that are out there for teenage boys. And so much of the content that was out there was like, be your best self, how to live your best teenage years as teenage boys, like how to, it was all about, and I see it all the time actually in, you know, when I go to, I don't know, maybe get a birthday card for someone in a certain shop, and it's just like, have the best day of your life and positive, positive, positive. And I get it. We all want to, but it's not realistic to, you know, think that we are just going to be, and we need to be educating young people about that, about the realities of, you know, life, instead of just being like, you just need to be positive, 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 positive all the time. You know, I think if I'd have got some emotional literacy when I was at school, I think it would have made a massive difference. I don't know about you, but no one ever came to my school and, you know, showed any vulnerability or, you know, talked about struggling, you know, that just nothing. In my school, we had so many people come in, external guests, and they would say, like, you know, you can be the best lawyer or doctor, or I'm doing this now and my life is great. And I look back and, you know, I actually go back now to my old school and talk about my own experiences. And it's great. Young people come up afterwards and they will often say, oh my gosh, that's the first time I've ever heard anyone speak, like, honestly or with vulnerability. And, you know, I'm going through this and I'm going through that. And we need more of that, don't we, in our, particularly in our schools and our colleges and our universities, I think. We really do.
It's freedom. You know, not everyone is going to be the unsensitive, strong, handsome, talented, clever, artistic, whatever it is, that this perfect person that you know, not everyone's going to be the lawyer, not everyone's going to be the doctor. And even if they do become the lawyer or the doctor, that's not a pill for success or happiness. Absolutely. You know, we say all this as if, like, okay, at least there's a treadmill, and if you get on the treadmill and do well, then you're going to be happy. There's loads of people who get on that treadmill thinking that is it all. And then they get there and then they realize that even that's not working. That's not how it's panned out to be. And I just, for me, I just, what I seek and my mission, which I love, which is why I love this conversation and what you're doing, is just to allow people to be, allow them to be, and allow them to have a sad day, allow them to have a challenge, allow them to have a difficulty, and not to need to save them or fix them or change them or, you know, suggest that they need all this stuff, but to allow it. And of course, for them to be able to work on it and to be able to grow and develop too, but not because it's wrong, but because this is their experience. And now we're getting to a space in this world where people can just be. And if we can all just be, we're not going to hate ourselves. We're not going to have this challenging conversations. And, I love it that's what's coming through.
I am a fixer, and I'm going to be completely honest. I do find it difficult to see people in pain, particularly if they're loved ones. And actually, whether that be physical or emotional pain, it doesn't matter, you know. And I think that's, again, that's very human, actually, to, you know, see other people in pain, particularly loved ones, and want to do something. But particularly when it comes to, you know, emotional pain, I think because I've been through my own experiences, I often feel I can, you know, sort of lend my wisdom, and I'll say, well, yeah, there's this book or this app or, you know, I don't know, whatever it is, but I know at the same time, as we've been saying, I need to, you know, I need to be a bit more restrained sometimes. And I am learning. I think I am learning. There's a friend that I've got that's struggling at the moment. And, you know, I'm being very restrained in terms of how much I'm offering in terms of my own insight, and how much, like, I'm just letting him be with what he's going through, but being supportive, obviously, at the same time, not just like being like, get on with it. I'm very much, you know, well, I'm here. Like, if you want to go for a walk, or, you know, and I know myself that sometimes, but, you know, on one day I might want to, you know, pick up the phone and go for that walk, or, but then on another day, I just want to sit in my, I just want to sit and sort of almost wallow, which might sound a bit, I don't know, a bit sad, but, you know, sometimes, I mean, the other day, I was feeling really sad a few days ago. I don't know what happened. I felt incredibly sad. And I was like, I want to cry, actually. I really want to cry. And so I've got like a sad playlist on my phone, and I was just like, I cried, and, you know, it was a few hours of, you know, feeling, but I felt good afterwards, or the next day. I was like, okay, well, you know, I needed that. I needed that, and I didn't want anyone to, you know, try and pick me up from it. I just needed to, I don't know, release some sadness, and yeah, and that's okay.
Mm. That's really beautiful, I think, Johnny. It's only society that says it's wrong, right? You know, I have a playlist of sad songs too, and I've got a really good friend of mine who we've had a similar conversation, and he's a very manly man, a huge guy. And he says, sometimes I really enjoy just leaning into my sadness. I'm really like going there. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like, again, it's not unnatural. You know, society tells us we shouldn't be sad, so we should snap out of it. We should get rid of that, and we should go and do something that stops us being sad, like get drunk or whatever it is, to take us away from that emotion.
Yeah.
Emotions are there to be felt. Mm. And like you say, I think, have you done the Hoffman process?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. So when I did the Hoffman, and there's a lot of tears on the Hoffman process. Mm-hmm. You know, I've never been a big crier. It's something that I want to allow more of in my life. But I remember on the Hoffman process, you know, having tears and kind of thinking, but, you know, unusual for me, but, you know, kind of whatever. And then towards the end of the week, like actually getting to the stage where I'm like, I want to cry because I want that feeling of like space after.
Sure.
I want to let go of this stuff. I want to, like, you know, and be like, and like almost like, taking a breath and being sort of, I've just cleared some space by letting those tears out.
Yeah.
And society says it's weird that you've got a sad playlist and sometimes you want to be sad and you cried that afternoon. And I don't think it is. I don't think it is. And that's part of the problem. It's like, hey, Johnny, I think it's beautiful. And I want to be beautiful in my tears at times too. And for that all to be okay and to be able to talk about it like we are now and to see each other in that space and say, thank you. Like, I see you. That's your truth. And it's beautiful. Mm. So thank you.
I really want to know what is on your sad playlist. I think we should start a sad playlist club. Because, yeah, I like to mix it up a bit and have new songs to cry to. It's, you know.
Yeah. You know, I have one song that really can like take me. In fact, I have two songs that can really take me there if ever I want it. Because I love feeling now. I even the sadness. Like for me, it's such a novel thing after 30 years of repressing.
Sure.
For me now, just to feel it makes me feel alive. Mm. Like there's something, I'm feeling something inside of me. It's like, wow, yes. Even if it is sadness, I'm like, at least I'm feeling it, which is better than just the numb that I felt for so long.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I have some songs that I can certainly share.
Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah, I'd love to know that one's or the songs that you
two songs.
Yeah,
yeah. You have to pick your moment, Johnny, because they're really? That powerful, you know?
But I mean,
I think so.
Isn't that amazing, though, that music can... I mean, I just think, well, any sort of medium, music, art, films, there's some films that are guaranteed to make me cry. But for me, actually, it's music. It's certain songs that, yeah. It's amazing how instantly the emotion comes and the tears flow, you know, as soon as I hear. But there's one song for me, which is by the Carpenters. It's called Rainy Days and Mondays. And as soon as the first few kind of like bars come in, I'm like, I'm on the floor. It just, you know, even before the words, I know what's coming. I know that the pain, because there's a lot of pain in that song, actually. And I know that pain will reach me very instantly. It's just amazing how powerful, you know, a medium like music can be to, and not just in terms of sadness, of course. Like, I mean, I use music, you know, when I'm happy, when I'm angry, when I'm jealous, you know. Yeah, for me, it's a very powerful medium.
It allows you to feel what's within.
Yeah,
and it does for me, and I love that. Yeah, I'm 100%. You know what comes to me is as we're sitting here right now is just that, you know, we've grown up in a world that says that we'd be judged negatively for you know, even having these kind of conversations. You know, it's pretty foreign, and the way we, you know, growing up, the sensitivity and all that stuff that we've touched on. And then what just comes to me at the moment is that we need to celebrate the people like you who have this. You have these gifts inside of them that have been told for so long are inhumane or not manly or whatever. And for me, you're a gift, and what you experience and the what's inside of you is beautiful. It's just that society has told us that it's not. And I feel like we are just coming out of this. And I feel like each day that goes by, your gifts will be celebrated more in this world. I believe so, anyway, and I hope so. And I've just, yeah, we are human beings are meant to feel. Mm. Songs are impactful. Mm. All of that is okay and it's beautiful. What's not okay and what's not human is just to deny all these things and run from them and fill ourselves up in ways that these opportunities that have been created and formed and through business and money making and opportunity to make life easier for us when life isn't always meant to be easy. You know, emotions are strong. There's going to be heartache, there's going to be sadness, there's going to be joy, there's going to be beauty, there's going to be love, there's going to be all of these things, and this is the world we live in.
Yeah,
and people like you who feel it all are treasures for me. And are examples and lessons for us to learn from.
Oh, thank you.
And it's beautiful.
I mean, there are so many. What really gets me actually is, you know, there's a lot of people out there with, you know, that I've come across that I meet with maybe quite severe mental health issues, and they often get suppressed. You know, their creativity, their emotion, their sensitivity. I mean, you know, anyone that I've met with schizophrenia is incredibly sensitive and amazingly creative and so insightful. But, you know, society for a long time has said, we don't want these people kind of, you know, let's just over-medicate them and get rid of, kind of push them to one side because, you know, that's too much for us. I mean, if you look at some of like the greatest artists that have ever lived, they've had some, like Van Gogh. I mean, oh my gosh, like he had, you know, really severe mental health issues throughout his life. And yeah, that's what really gets. I feel very lucky that I could have gone a very different way when I got my diagnosis, this form of schizophrenia. You know, I was heavily medicated for a long time. In my early 20s, I was so numb. It was just this weird, constant, like numbness. Like I didn't feel anything anymore. I definitely stopped. I couldn't cry. Like literally, just no more tears for years. And I do. I see it often. You know, when I meet people that have something like schizophrenia, they're so heavily medicated. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to criticize, you know, medication, but I just it saddens me often that, you know, often, yeah, the most sensitive or talented or creative people in our society don't really get to kind of experience the fullness of life, because, you know, as I said, society just isn't ready yet to kind of accept these people. And I think, you know, it's going to change. It will change. And it is changing. Don't get me wrong. It is changing. I think we've still got a way to go.
Yeah, we still have. It takes me to Brené Brown says unused creativity isn't benign. Mm. You know, it doesn't just disappear. It sits inside of us. Mm. We are creative beings. We're creative beings. We're sensitive beings. And many of us, obviously some more so than others, but it's a human experience to feel. It's a human experience to create. And creativity requires vulnerability. It requires the possibility of being judged and the possibility of someone not liking what we're doing.
Yeah.
And that's what creativity is. It's self-expression of our uniqueness, of the beauty inside of us that is true to us, not true to everyone, not true to society as a whole, but true to what we've got inside of us. And yeah, I feel like unless we're good at something, we're told not to do it. You know, unless we fit in, unless we perform, we're told not to do it. And it takes me back. I hope you don't mind me saying this, but I remember seeing on your socials and Gay Pride, and you look so alive and so just, you know, I'd never seen that in you. And I just felt like because you're allowed to be in that moment and you're being celebrated and your truth was welcome and you were just, and it was beautiful. And that's what I seek for this world, is all of us, however you are. And by the way, this is not criticizing people who aren't sensitive,
sure, of course,
you know, or not creative, because that's their thing too. But it's the ones who are suppressed for not being allowed to be who they are that I feel for. How does it feel for you when you're at Pride? Like, do you feel something else and you are able to be all of who Johnny is?
Yeah. I mean, look, it's a journey for me. I'm still on a long journey, I think, to really, I'm much better than I was, but I'm not there yet in terms of being able to express my true self, I think. But being at Pride is, I mean, I don't know if you've ever been, but I recommend everyone go to at least one Pride. I know London Pride is coming back this September. So it's just this feeling of, you know, everyone accepting each other, which is so rare in society. Like, you know, you can literally dress how you want and be how you want. And as long as you're, you know, respectful and kind, and everyone is, that it is just this atmosphere of celebrate. You mentioned the word celebrate. It is celebration. It is pure celebration. It's a really magical. It reminds me of when I ran the London Marathon in 2017. You know, again, London was transformed because people were on the sidelines and everyone is cheering for you and calling your name and celebrating you. And it's very surreal. Because, you know, I grew up in London and I know, you know, London can be so cold. Any city or anywhere can be so cold sometimes and, you know, quite brutal. But the amazing thing about, you know, the London Marathon or Pride is that people are just so accepting of, you know, however you look, whatever you do. They're your cheerleaders, and whether you're on the sidelines or whether you're part of it, it doesn't matter. There's just this kind of feeling of, you know, oneness, which again is just so rare, and it's really beautiful. And I wish we had more of it. I wish it didn't have to take certain events like the marathon or Pride to make people accept one another unconditionally. I wish it could be like that all the time.
Mm. Do you think it's too much to ask that it could be one day? Do you feel it's possible?
I think it's possible. I mean, why should we have to? You know, as soon as I remember, you know, I completed the London Marathon and I got to the end, and even on the tube back home, and I got the tube back home, people saw my medal and they were really lovely. And then the next day I get on the tube and it's just back to everyone, you know, keeping themselves to themselves and not wanting to kind of look at one another, and this fear and isolation. And I was like, oh, it's such a shame. And I do, yeah, absolutely. If it can be like that one day and then, you know, go back to the way it was the next, we can definitely keep it alive. But we need we need people to be brave, don't we? And willing to. And I do feel that, you know, going back to what I was saying before, the next generation are much more brave than, well, certainly when I went to school, no one ever kind of, we were all just so, I don't know, everyone was just so like, now when I go to schools, you know, young people are so much more expressive and it really kind of gives me a lot of hope for the future.
Mm. Yeah, they seem to be more understanding and welcoming that everyone is different. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess, I don't know if I carry an element of shame, Johnny, or I have compassion for myself that I didn't know any better. But, you know, at school, I would have been one of those judgmental people, mm-hmm. you know, because I thought people should be more like how what society said they should be, you know, sure. what I was trying to be sure. effectively. You know, I did that because... You know, I wasn't understanding that people are different. Mm. I just thought, come on, be this, mm-hmm. be this, mm-hmm. that, which is what I was trying to be. You know, I was battling my own sure. self in that respect. But I really hope that kids are growing up and welcoming that we don't need to be the same. We don't need to fit into a system to be celebrated. Mm-hmm. Like, we are all beautiful in what we are. You know, you're beautiful in your creativity. You're beautiful in your expression. You're beautiful in the way that you do this and this and this. And they're beautiful in that the fact they do it opposite,
yeah.
and that they have different talents. And that's great too. And that for me feels like a much more compassionate and welcoming and easier world for everyone to live in.
Yeah.
So I hope so too. I really do. And it feels possible to me too.
It does. I do feel really, I mean, look at the way that young people, you know, say have got involved with like, you know, climate change protests, for example. You know, they've kind of led the way. I feel really excited about, you know, what comes next. And this new generation that are, I think, more fearless.
Yeah. And do you mind if I ask, we're coming towards the end of this now. What feels right to ask you now is, do you feel excited about your future? Do you feel excited about what you've got for the rest of your life?
Yeah. I think, as I said, I'm a work in progress, as, you know, most of us are, I think.
Me too.
Yeah, exactly. But I do feel, I mean, I've been very much, you know, the last few years have been quite challenging. I've been... I've had a few relapses in my mental health. I've been back in hospital. I let stress overwhelm me. I wasn't looking after myself that well. And actually, you know, the pandemic, obviously it's been a really tough time for everyone, but for most people. But it's given me a chance to reset and relook at things, as I think it has for actually probably quite a lot of people. And I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back to the way that I was before the pandemic, where I was literally nonstop. I was nonstop, and I wasn't looking after my mental health or my needs. You know, I was literally on a treadmill, just constantly going, and I just never ever stopped. And I do not want to go back, and I will not go back to the way that was pre-pandemic. So I am excited. I'm excited about my future for sure. Yeah, as I said, still, you know, I have my therapy every week, my CFT, my compassion focused therapy. And I'm really lucky. I've got this, the most amazing therapist who is really trying to help me. Be the best that I can be. And, I feel very lucky that I've got that. And I've got, you know, the right support around me. And I wish everyone had that, you know, that support and those people that cheer you on. And I unconditionally, you know. So I feel I've got the right people around me, the right support. And I've got what's needed within me. I just need to, you know, bring it out more.
I hope you're excited, Johnny, because I, as I say, I think we need more of your voice, more of acceptance of, I don't know, people who, I don't know, I don't want to, that sounds rude, but I don't mean it rudely, but like people who are different, like, you know, different appears to be a negative word in society, but I don't mean it that way. I mean, it's beautiful. Like, you're different, I'm different. We're like, and my difference is beautiful, and your difference is beautiful, and all of that. I just, you've got the bravery and the story to tell, and the understanding of what you've been through, and the compassion for other people. All these incredibly valuable human traits that logic and rationale can't work out and can't be structured into a logical, I don't know, computer. They're felt. You know, I feel you, and I'm just so glad I've had this opportunity to sit in space. I'm so glad that, I don't know, like there was definitely a voice in my head that could say to me, how far can I go with this conversation? Do I need to tread carefully? Like, where? And I'm grateful that we just allowed it to flow and for you to express everything you did, because it's beautiful and it's powerful and it's amazing. I think, I know you're helping so many people. Like, I know that you're going to help so many more. I hope that your journey is just beginning, and I hope you're celebrated and you make a impact. Like, I believe that you can, and not a great word, but should, you know, because we need you. We need your voice. We need you celebrated.
Thank you.
We need your journey celebrated.
Thank you. Thank you. Really. Thank you. That. Yeah. It means more than you know. It really does. Thank you. Thank you.
No, thank you, Johnny, because I'm just here to share the truth inside of me. It's not scripted, and that's what I feel. And you're amazing, and I'm grateful for you. So thank you very much for sitting with me and sharing. And
it's a pleasure. Such a pleasure. Yeah. Really. Thank you.
So there we go. Johnny Benjamin. I absolutely loved that conversation. Johnny, thank you so much. Thank you for sitting in that space. Thank you for being willing to go where we went. You know, I felt like I could say anything and talk about anything with you, and that's a beautiful space to sit in. Although it was a challenging conversation in terms of the content at times, it was also really beautiful, and I felt incredibly alive sharing that. So thank you. I really want to give a shout out to the work that Johnny's doing. He's a public speaker. He shares his story incredibly well, incredibly powerful. He helps a lot of people, but he's also set up a mental health charity for youth at the moment, which is called Beyond. And he's helping get mental health support for schools, for both pupils and teachers. And they are raising money. So if Johnny's story did touch you and the work he does, then please check out the work that Johnny does with Beyond and that charity. And yeah, if the story impacted you or the conversation impacted you today on this podcast, we'd love for you to share. You know, Johnny's voice needs to be heard. I meant every word that I said. In fact, I always hope to mean every word that I say. It's always my aim. But there was a lot of meaning in that conversation. And I think Johnny's voice is important. I really seek this place where people can express all of their truths and be who they are, and to be celebrated for who they are, not to be made wrong. And I really felt that in this conversation with Johnny, so I really want his voice to be heard. So if you do feel touched by today's conversation, I'd love it if you did share, if you did pass this on to anyone you felt might benefit from it. There are a lot of mental health challenges going on right now, and Johnny's story is a powerful one in the comeback that he's been on and continues to be on. So I hope this helps people. I'm really grateful to you for listening, and thank you. If you can rate, review and subscribe, share any feedback, then I'd be really grateful. But in the meantime, just want to say thank you. I'm feeling very touched right now, having just recorded that. And thank you for listening. Thank you for getting this far, and thank you for all your support. And with lots of love, I'm out.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.